Well, welcome back to the third message in the series, This is the Way. The last couple weeks, we really looked at what it is that God's calling us to as we follow Him. Like, which way should I go in following You, Lord? And here's the first week, which we deal with a selfish heart and a greedy or grieving heart, and we develop a generous heart and a grateful heart. Last week, we talked about living in the place of abundance and not living in the place of scarcity. You know, God created this world for us in perfection, and just because it's broken doesn't mean that God is. And when you trust Him, you can know that He's your source, and you don't have to live in a place of fear or scarcity. You can live in faith, knowing that God is going to supply all of your needs. I so want that for you. But this week is a really unique one. Honestly, I feel like I've never preached anything even close to this. So we're going to dive right in. I titled the message, The Principle of the First, because I want you to get the principle of the first and what that means. You're going to have to bear with me for the first little bit because we're looking at some Old Testament law. Now here's the deal in Old Testament law, because we're looking out of Exodus and we're looking out of Leviticus and much of this law that we're not bound by, because there were three types of law in the Old Testament. I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but I want you to know, like, when, because a lot of people, when they read the Old Testament, you're like, well, do I have to follow that? Well, let me explain what we're called to follow and why. So there's three types of law in the Old Testament. There is ecclesiastical law that has to do with all of the religious laws for the nation of Israel in regards to how they lived their life in the temple and tabernacle. So that's ecclesiastical law. Then there's Levitical law that was the law for the nation of Israel with God as its head. The Levitical law. And so ecclesiastical law had everything to do with clean and unclean sacrifices that you brought to the temple or to the tabernacle. Levitical law had everything to do with what happens if you know your ox gets out and gores someone. It's laws. And then the third law is the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And so here's the ecclesiastical law. We're not living by that today. Like, we're not called to live by that because Jesus is our sacrifice. There is no longer a temple or tabernacle that the Holy Spirit resides inside of us. So those laws, we don't live by those. Then the Levitical laws, we don't live by those either, because though there is a nation of Israel, it's a republic, it's not a theocracy. And so we're not bound by those Levitical laws, but we are bound by the moral law, the Ten Commandments. But here's the thing in the Old Testament law. There are some unbelievable principles that hold true. And I want to look at this principle of the first. So you're going to have to bear with me through a couple passages of Exodus and then Leviticus. And then we're going to get into a story where I think a lot, at least for me, it was, I could so identify. So here we go. We're jumping into Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born, both of humans and animals, belongs to me." This is, and then Exodus 13, 11 and 12, "This is what you must do when the Lord fulfills the promise He swore to you and to your ancestors when He gives you the land where the Canaanites now live." And they're about to go into the promised land, and he's reiterating verses 1 and 2. He says, "You must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord. They belong to Him." So here's the principle of the first in the Old Testament. There's three aspects of it. Here's the first one. The principle of the first is you were called to dedicate, either redeem, or sacrifice the firstborn. It's firstborn. So this is the principle. The firstborn belongs to God. If it's a firstborn male, he is dedicated or redeemed by the Lord. If it's a firstborn of an animal, it is sacrificed to the Lord. So this principle of the firstborn, you are to give God the firstborn. All right, here's the second. It's no longer just the firstborn. It's called first fruits. Exodus 23:19, "As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God." It's the first fruits. In other words, anything that you grow. Now remember, this was an agrarian society, so they were they were pastoral in nature. That meant that that's not talking about pasturing, that's talking about agriculture, and they either raised sheep and goats, or they raised cows, or they grew crops. That was the source of their sustenance. That was the source of their economy. So he says, as you harvest the crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. So the principle of the first and firstborn, the principle of the first and first fruits, both of which giving your first and your best. I wrote this in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. I just referenced this. Honor the Lord with your wealth. This is what Proverbs says. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he'll fill your barns with grain. Your vats will overflow with good wine. So we see this principle of the first and the best. Genesis 4, 3 through 5. We're going way back now. It says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift for the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lands from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he didn't accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain angry, and he looked dejected. And you know the story. Why was God pleased with Abel, but not with Cain? Because Abel brought his first and his best to the Lord. He gave his first and his best, and Cain did not. See, this is the principle of the first. The firstborn, both of humans and animals, the first fruits in agriculture. And then we see the third principle of the first was the first financially. Leviticus 27:30, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether from grain or fields, the fruit of the trees belongs to the Lord, must be set apart as holy. We see in Micah 3:10 that we talk about the tithe, and it's talking about bringing that into the storehouse. So the principle of the firstborn, the first fruits, the first financially. And you're probably thinking, what does that have to do with me today? Well, I got a question for you. What happens when you stub your toe in the middle of the night? You ever stub your toe waking up? What comes out of your mouth? I remember a really famous pastor saying that they got up in the middle of the night and stubbed their toe. Now, they were a pastor of a massive church. And what came out first was not a curse word, and they were proud of themselves. And that gave me hope. Because what comes out of us first is a big deal. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? What's the first thing you do when you meet somebody? What's the first thing you do when you walk into a room? What's the first thing that you do in your relationship with the Lord? And it's surrender. And God's calling us to a place of faith. This isn't the crux of the story that I want to mention, though. Because I really felt like the Holy Spirit, and I don't say that flippantly. I was preparing this message on the principle of the first, and out of left field, I heard just a whisper in my, just inside, and it wasn't an audible voice, the story of Jephthah. And I remembered the story of Jephthah out of Judges. Maybe you don't. So we're going to read the story of Jephthah and then see the application wrongly of the principle of the first. So just a little backstory. Jephthah grew up in the promised land. He grew up after the book of Exodus and Leviticus had been given. So he knew about the principle of the firstborn. He knew about the principle of the first fruits. He knew about the principle of the first financially. So he understood and he grew up with this. But he grew up really unique, and we're going to jump right into that story. Here we go, Judges 11. Verses 1 through 12, so bear with me. It says, now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. This is the story of Jephthah. He was a warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. That's interesting, because adultery at that time was punishable by death. But his daddy was still around for a little while, and he was the bastard child from his father. Gilead's wife, well, that's interesting. Well, hold on. So his mama, Jephthah's mama, was a prostitute, but Gilead also had a wife. So this is kind of a jacked up situation. Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they were half-brothers to Jephthah because his mama was from the prostitute, they chased Jephthah off the land. You will not get any of our father's inheritance, they said, for you are the son of a prostitute. And I'm just thinking to myself, poor Jephthah, what did he do? He didn't do anything wrong. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. About this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. And when the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. The elders said to him, come and be our commander. Help us fight the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to them, aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me out from my father's house? Why do you want me to come now that you're in trouble? Because we need you, the elders replied. If you lead us into battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over all the people of Gilead. And Jephthah said to the elders, I love this. Let me get this straight. If I come with you, and if the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me ruler over all of the people? The Lord is our witness, the elders replied. We promise to do whatever you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him ruler and commander of the army. At Mizpah, in the presence of the Lord, Jephthah repeated what he had said to the elders, which was, now wait a minute, hold on. Like, I didn't do nothing wrong. My mama was a prostitute, it was my daddy, but y'all didn't hold him to account because he lived until he died, and then when he died, my brothers ran me off, and now I'm this great warrior, so you want me leading the nation, and if I win this battle and defeat the enemy, you're going to make me ruler, and you've already given me your whole army. Is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right. But before he goes into battle, a man who grew up in a home that even though his daddy was doing stuff he shouldn't have, he was taught the law. He understood he knew the principle of the first and the firstborn. He knew the principle of the first and first fruits, and he knew the principle of the first financially. Did he understand the principle of the first? This is where it gets funky. Verse 30, Judges 11. And Jephthah made a, so he's about to go into battle. It says, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will give to the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. So he says, knowing the principle of the firstborn, knowing the principle of the first fruits, the first finance, he knows all about the principle of the first. And so before he goes into battle, because think about it, this is a man who's been rejected his whole life. From a little kid, he was rejected. He's run off by his brothers. But even though he has worthless guys around him, he probably becomes a raider, but they know that he's a great warrior and probably a pretty hurt and ruthless man. And so the leaders of Gilead say, listen, come help deliver us from the enemy. If you do that, you're the man. You lead us all. And so I would imagine that inside of Jephthah was this longing for significance, to let people know that he was who he was and he was relevant and he mattered. And he knew all about the principles of the firstborn, the first fruits, the first finances. He knew that. But I don't think he understood it. Because before he goes into battle, he tries to strike a deal with the Lord. He's bargaining with God. Hey, God, listen. I really want to win this battle. I want to make something of myself. I don't want to be the worthless, no good, nobody. I want to make something of myself. So listen, if you help me win this battle, because it means a lot to me, whatever comes out of my house when I return, first thing comes out, I'm giving it to you. Help me, God, be with me. Come on, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Here's what happens. He wins the battle, by the way. And when Jephthah, this is verses 34 and 35. When Jephthah returned home to Mizpah, his daughter came out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy because her daddy just won the battle. And he's going to be a respectable man. She was his one and only child. He had no other sons and daughters. And when he saw her, he tore his clothes in anguish. Oh, my daughter, he cried out, you've completely destroyed me. He blames his daughter for a vow he made. You brought disaster on me, for I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. The rest of the story is pretty dark. His daughter's young. She asked, because she's young and a virgin, to go off and mourn her coming death with her friends, and she does. And when she comes back, her dad sacrifices her as a burnt offering to the Lord. That's messed up. That's messed up. And this is where a lot of Christians land, whether they realize it or not, on what they think God wants from them and the principle of the first. And truthfully, I've heard a lot of pastors preach the principle of the firstborn, and not necessarily the principle of the firstborn, the first fruits, the first and best. I've heard that over and over. And then tithing, which is all of those are very true. But I want you to get the why. Because Jephthah, I really believe, was like so many Christians who want to do the right thing, but they know, like, all about, he knew all about, this is what God wants, but he totally missed the why. And because of it, it was a grief-stricken moment of death when God's heart for him was life. He was foolish to sacrifice his daughter and never should have, because here's what Jephthah, this is where he messed up. He understood the price of the first, but he did not understand the principle behind it. And the principle was not one where God wants to bring misery and pain and death, and you better sacrifice your first, and you better give me the first fruits, and you better give me the first financially. He understood, Jephthah understood that price, but he never got the principle that God wants you to trust him with everything. And when you are willing to lay down your children, and I'm not talking like Jephthah, where you lay them down on an altar and sacrifice them physically to the Lord, but in your heart, you give God the first, your first, like my first, all of my children are the Lord's, but they've all been dedicated, but my firstborn, Lord, he is yours. I've got plans for him, because that first one, you know what it's like. You don't have any more. It's just that one. Like, you don't know if more are going to come. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever have another kid, but this one's yours. You do with him or her what you will. What's the principle of the first fruits? God, I'm giving you the very best and the very first of the harvest, and I'm giving it to you, but I don't know if we're going to get any more financially. Lord, I'm giving you that 10%. I'm giving it to you first, and I don't know if there's any more, because what God wants from you is not for you to sacrifice your children, sacrifice the fruits of your labor, sacrifice financially. He wants you to have faith and to trust him. This is such a sad story of a man. A man who wanted to please God. But what he ended up doing was wanting a favor from God rather than having the thing that pleases God, faith. Faith. The principle of the first is not about following a rule. It's about finding favor with God because of faith, not wanting a favor from God. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people live like Jephthah. And their back's up against the wall, and they have an opportunity trying to find significance, make something of themselves, deal with the pain of the past. They're like making bargains with God. God doesn't make bargains, but he gives favor to those who trust him. That's what I want you to do. I want you, with the right heart, to be able to give the first and the best of every aspect of you, that you can lay your children down sacrificially before the Lord, not in a weird, perverted, sick, barbaric way. But you say, Lord, I'm trusting you with my firstborn, with all of my children, but that first one that you have. You remember that? Could you do that? Not knowing if there's more to come. Maybe you've had problems having kids and you have one. And you're like, this child's yours. Do with him what you will. Faith. That's what God's called us to. It's about faith. Are you willing to give God the first and the best of your time? The first and the best of your talents? The first and the best of your treasure? It's what he deserves. Because when you give him the first of all those, you're thinking to yourself, man, it's going to mess up. Lord, how can I give you the best of my time? The best of my talents? The best of my treasure? Like, I need those to survive. And that's where God is saying, trust me. And faith. Don't be a Jephthah. Be a person who lives open-handed before the Lord. This is the way that we do. We give God the first and the best of our heart and soul, but not as a bargaining chip, but in faith, because we believe that God is going to provide all of our needs. This whole message series, I want you to build faith, to have a generous heart and a grateful heart because you've received so much from God. To know that He is there for you, that you can live in abundance because God is an abundant God. And when you follow Him, even though we live in a broken world, He takes care of your needs and you can lay down everything before Him and say, God, I'm yours. I pray you get the principle of the first. And you don't live by rules, but you live by faith in God because you have a deep and abiding relationship with Him. I want that for you. A relationship without trust is no relationship at all. And I want you to be able to trust God. And He wants you to trust Him with everything you have. And I'm telling you personally, He is faithful and trustworthy. And when you lay your life on the altar before Him and everything of value you surrender to Him, He blesses your socks off. Doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy or that you won't encounter problems, but it does mean that He takes care of all of your needs and walks with you through the worst of times. Like David said, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's a God of comfort. It doesn't always make you comfortable, but He brings comfort when the pain of this world tries to invade. Don't make more for yourself by trying to follow a rule. Get into a deep, abiding relationship with Him. Maybe you need to do that. What's that look like? Acknowledge who you are, a sinner and far from God. Believe that God knows you and loves you, that Jesus paid the price on the cross for you, and surrender your life to Him. Maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe you've been living in fear and you want a favor from God, but He wants a relationship with you. Here's how you do that. You pray. You say, Dear Jesus, you can just pray something like this. I surrender my will and my way to yours. Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for me. I surrender my life to you. I'm following your way and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let us know. I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow into the person that God created you to be. Love you guys. Good being with you. See you soon. God bless.